All right, good morning, everyone. How you're doing? Okay. So many exciting things happening as we have watched on the UMC News. And just to highlight two things more, the Floodgates magazine is out. So as you finish or we're done with celebration services, head out and grab a copy right outside the front doors right here. And how many of you have received this or taken this UMC Family Life booklet? I heard it's, we ran out of it. And we're reprinting it, so it's in motion. And well, my family, we started our first chapter just last night and looked at old pictures and told stories about our wedding. And I want to encourage all of us to, you know, do this as a family. And we apologize if you don't have a copy yet, but it's coming out very soon. All right, so do this. We're in the series now. We were talking about family generations from the book of Joshua. All right? Okay. Are you ready for the Word of God? Can't hear you. Are we ready for the Word of God? Yes. Shall we rise to our feet as we read this morning's passage of Scripture, several verses in Joshua, and also one verse in Hebrews chapter 11. So on the screen, we're going to read it together, and so we're all in sync in the same version, and the same, hopefully the same pace as well. Let's go. Joshua chapter 2, verses 1, 2-3. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Now the man had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua altogether, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Last verse from Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who are disobedient. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you so much for your word that brings life, that cleanses us, that washes us. God, we're reminded in your word again that says, Lord, without faith, it is impossible to please you. And those that come to you must come believing that you exist, and you are God who rewards those who diligently seek you. Let it be true today, this morning, as we seek you, as we listen to your word. Lord, where words are inadequate to describe you and the way forward, let your spirit bring to life these words and speak to our hearts in a deeper way so that we might respond to you intimately, even today. All this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take your seats in the presence of God. We're continuing our series, the Joshua series, or what we call Legacy Makers. Pastor Chris started off the series last weekend. And by the way, the SPO, they are away for their retreat. They're planning retreat, not just holiday, but planning, praying, working really hard, and just planning for next year. So we're excited about what God is going to do in the coming days, even through our senior pastor's office, and pray on for them as the Lord continues to lead and guide them in every way. Amen? So Joshua 2, and today's topic from Joshua 2 is entitled, The Harlot, the Scarlet Thread, and Other Stories. You like the title? Are you in suspense now? Did you ever know that there was a harlot in the Bible, or more than one? This is the day we're going to talk about a harlot, not just a harlot, the scarlet thread, and also other stories, which probably will include your stories as well. Now, I want to just sum it up, the story of Rahab. Rahab is the name, okay? Most of us are familiar with the story of the walls of Jericho crumbling down, right? The city of Jericho being conquered. So before we get to that story in a couple of weeks' time, that epic story, because there was chapter 1 as well that the Lord spoke to Joshua to say, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous. 3 times the Lord said that to Joshua. Remember that? Chapter 1. I want to just point out the 4th time that this statement was mentioned, be strong and very courageous, was not just mentioned by God to the people, but this time, the 4th time, it was mentioned by the people themselves to their leader, Joshua. Now, think about that for a moment. It's one thing for God to say, be strong and courageous. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, be strong and courageous. Some of you are saying that not very courageously, you know. Say it, be strong and courageous, right? Now, think about it. The 4th time, the people themselves told Joshua and say, Joshua, whatever you tell us to do, we will do. Be strong and courageous. I want to just highlight this point to us. It's one thing when God has said something to you directly. I mean, that's the game changer. That's mind-blowing. That's encouraging. But it's another thing, quite another thing, when someone and the people themselves say, hey, Pastor Chris, be strong and courageous. Because we are in this. We're not just standing at the sidelines watching what's going to happen, but we're in this together. We're not just saying be strong and courageous, but we're encouraging, encouraging our pastors, our leaders, because we are in this together for the generations. Amen? Amen? Exciting days ahead as you see what God is doing in and through lives and stories in DUMC. But you know, chapter 1, and then you have the city of Jericho. Smack in the middle is the life of Rahab, the prostitute, or the harlot. This woman named Rahab, you know, labeled still a prostitute in Hebrews and even James, Rahab the prostitute. This interesting story, or this person was instrumental in a convicting and courageous faith to help 2 spies find a way out of Jericho. In fact, 2 strangers that strolled in. It's interesting, you read in Joshua chapter 2, right? When Joshua sent them to spy the land, especially Jericho, it mentions in verse 1. But of all places that they went to, they went into where? Can talk to me. Rahab's place, okay? How controversial is that? How controversial in our day and time, you know? It's like saying, hey, we sent 2 pastors away to a land and they entered a prostitute's den. Some of you are stunned. No, that can't happen, right? Just trying to bring in today's context and so that we try to piece together and hopefully understand a bit better how controversial was that. But these 2 spies, of course, just to shorten the story of this king, the king found out what had happened and sent people to try and find these spies, but Rahab had a plan. She lied, the controversial thing again. How can she lie, you know? We'll talk about it later. One of the conditions was that there would be a scarlet cord that would be tied on the very same window where the spies would escape from. Another condition would be that the families have to remain, or Rahab's family have to remain indoors when the strike happens. These are conditions. And so at the end of the day, the spies left the building. 3 days they were out. Rahab provided a strategy, you know, don't go anywhere for 3 days, just stay right there. And after 3 days, they make their way back to Joshua. And all they had to say to Joshua was this report. Say it together, okay? 1, 2, 3. The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Now think about it for a while. After all that they went through, all that the spies had to go through, you know, went to a prostitute's place, almost kind of caught and, you know, hit themselves, went up to the mountains 3 days, came back to Joshua, and all they said was this: the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because, as though they couldn't find that out earlier. Well, they could. In fact, God said in chapter 1, I have given you the land. You know, this land is going to be possessing. In fact, he has. But what's amazing about this is that the two spies, because of the word of one woman, a prostitute, who shared with them what she had heard, because of one woman who was a misfit, because of this woman's word, these two spies came back, not just hearing from God saying he's going to give us the land, but now they are convinced, and now you have the word surely right there, the Lord has what? Surely given the whole land into our hands. And this is what they repeated, what Rahab had said, and all the people are melting in fear because of us. What confidence, what courage. So convinced right now that they have seen with their own eyes what the Lord had done through a life of a prostitute named Rahab. This is game-changing. This is game-changing. I know the word game-changing probably, you know, many of you, you've used this word. This is game-changing for my business. This is a game-changing idea. I want to say this is a game-changing story. In today's time, we talk about game-changing, right? Some of these new idea startups, you know, like Uber, like GrabCar, it's game-changing, right? Some of you are praying for the right idea to start the right business at a young age, at 25, say, hey, I've got to have a game-changing idea that will hit the world by storm, like Pokemon Go. Don't know how many of you are trying to play because it's not here yet. Some parents are concerned, you know, but that's an example of what's game-changing. It's even hitting churches overseas. You hear about that? They call it gyms, you know, right? And they're supposed to catch all these creatures in gyms, and, you know, it's something that has to be processed a bit more. But game-changing ideas, the story is game-changing. Can I just say this? It's game-changing not because God could not give the land to Joshua and the Israelites without Rahab involved, but because he would not. He could give them the land, whatever it takes, you know, without the prostitute involved, without the two spies, but he could, but he would not. Many times that's true of our lives. He wants to involve people like you and me, broken people, disadvantaged, marginalized, misfits of society that fit the biggest story of our God. I'm not sure how many of us here, and this is still my introduction before I come to the big idea, I'm not sure how many of us here have been misfits before in our lives. You know, I shared a little bit about my misfits, you know. I don't really enjoy, I'm a misfit here, okay? I don't really enjoy football, okay? Because my parents know this, my brother knows this. It's like cheering us, oh, man, 11 people at the ball, yeah. You know, then I said, maybe it's because I missed, when I was young, I missed scoring a goal, and up to now, I've been traumatized by missing that one goal. Can't get over it. I'm like, God, football's out, you know. And so everyone, people talk, you know. So maybe for some of you, I mean, my wife, we were just talking about it, you know, she is part of this chat group of our daughter's school, and, you know, parents are very gung-ho to share ideas, to talk about open day, canteen day, they're giving ideas. My wife's like, how come the ideas I share is not taken, and there's always one or two persons that dominates the conversation in the WhatsApp group? Been there before, parents? Yes, sir. So we're not alone, right? Yeah, you're not alone, yeah. Okay. Misfits everywhere, you know? And some of you are perhaps you're more an introverted person, and you can't see him, you don't like group of loud people that are talking all the time. You're misfit, right? Some people are saying, hey, come on, be more fun, you know. But I'm more serious, you know. You're misfit. I don't know what your misfits are. You have different kinds of misfits. But Rahab was a misfit. in a day and time, in a society. In fact, being a woman itself in those days and time was a misfit. Now, what's the big idea? I want to lead us to this big idea today. Big idea is this, simple as this. Surrender your story to God's bigger story to leave behind a legacy. Surrender your story to God's bigger story to leave behind a legacy. Now, what do we mean? And how do you get there? We've heard the story of Rahab, right? I want to bring us to three main points right under this big idea. And it's going to summarize this way. Number one, we'll talk about a harlot. What's a story? We've heard a general story about a harlot, but what's her story? What's God's story through her? And we're going to move to the harlot, or the scarlet thread. What's the story about the scarlet thread? And we're going to talk about other stories, because that's where we talk about what's your story as part of the bigger story. And just remember, the first big point, there will be 3 points. Someone say 3 points? 3 points. Second one, there'll be just one. And the third one, 2 points. Easy to remember? So now you have a filing system in your mind that you can categorize and can fit in all these different points and try to remember these points as we go along. Okay? Are we ready? The harlot. What's the story? Now, this first point I want to point out to is God looks beyond labels and meets us where we are. It's hard when people label you as fat, skinny, tall, big nose, you know, not friendly, you know, no leadership, you know. Been there before? You're very quiet. I'm sure you have your own stories of having been labeled as something. You know, maybe why your jokes are so lame one. That's a label. Have you been labeled that before? Some of you are laughing. You're not sure to laugh, not because that's lame to your friend to laugh, you know. You want to be cool. I'm not lame, you know. Some of you have labels about, you know, even some of the ministries here. Why are the ushers so unfriendly? Ushers, are you unfriendly? Say it louder, please. Okay, they're shy, all right? Why the security? We have all sorts of labels of people, of ministries. Some of the labels I've had before in my own life, Pastor Alex is very diplomatic, overly diplomatic at times, you know? Maybe he's not a very caring person after all. Wow, you know? I've had these labels upon my own life before, and sometimes it hurts because it's like, hey, where did I go wrong, huh? Maybe because I've been in my own world as an introvert, you know. Labels are powerful. Rahab had labels. Now, Rahab's profession would not have been highly regarded. Of course, even after now, it would not be highly regarded. Perhaps even marriage prospects, close to nil, because of the profession she was in a male-dominated culture. It's been tough. It's also very good to understand that prostitution is not always a choice, and people are going to say, yay, I want to be a prostitute. Been there? Don't put up your hands. Well, in today's time as well, there's even the modern prostitutes, college-age people that want a better life, want to afford a handbag, want to afford an education, and what they do is they enter into this sophisticated prostitution industry, so to speak. Some of you know about that. It's happening maybe in your colleges or universities or your friends that are involved with this. Prostitution is rarely a proactive choice freely made by the decision made, bound by circumstances. But you know what? God did not wait for Rahab to get her act together. He did not wait for Rahab to clean up her act. God met her where she was at. Right where she was at, God met her. He didn't say, hey, you get your heart right first. Okay? You get it all together first before I use you. But before that, she was still in her life and lifestyle, but something was happening in her heart. When God met her where she was at, He looks beyond labels. And maybe some of you, you are stuck in the label that you have labeled yourselves, or a label that has been given and said about you by your friends or even family members, such as, how come your older sister is prettier? How come your brother is doing better than you are? How come you're still not married yet up to now? Now take heart, Rahab had a future, a great future. God looks beyond labels and meets us where we are. Second point, God looks for faith, not perfection. This is important. God looks for faith and not perfection. And we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, that says what? By faith, Rahab. By faith, Rahab what? Was not killed because she welcomed the spies. So she was not killed like the rest in their disobedience. By faith. The Word of God also says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What an important verse to remember even today. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Because when we come to Him, we must believe that He what? Exists. And I pray that as we come here, we gather here together, we believe together that He exists. And He is a God who rewards those who diligently seeks Him. And you are here, gathered here for a reason, for a purpose. We're here to seek God. We're here to seek His heart. We're here to say, God, what are you saying to me today, even through the life of a misfit? God looks for faith, not perfection. Rahab acted on a faith. She was willing to betray her own people and risk her own life and that of her family for this God she heard about. Theologian Francis Schaeffer says this: Rahab was surrounded by a hostile and awesome environment. She was still surrounded by a monolithic mentality and entire worldview. She was pressured by a powerful city and an ancient culture. At the moment, she could see nothing with her eyes, which indicated it would fall. But nevertheless, Rahab knew. And what she knew was totally against her culture. This is going against the grain. She believed in a new God, a God totally opposed to the gods of Jericho. This is countercultural. This is a game changer. She stood for the unseen against the seen, standing in acute danger until Jericho fell. Rahab was not perfect. She was probably not discipled yet. She lied about the spies. You know, some of you say, how can she lie? And how can this be true of God? Now, God did not look at her lie. God looked at her faith. She was someone that was where she was at, but God met her there, and God used her anyhow through her imperfections. God used her. Let me say this: God looks for faith, not perfection. This is not to say that you remain imperfect, because our journey in our Christian spirituality, our faith, is a journey towards Christ-likeness. It's a journey towards perfection. But God doesn't start with that. He starts with your faith. Do you have faith? Are you convicted? Do you believe? You're not perfect yet. That's okay. You've messed up big time. That's okay. You've made bad choices and decisions in life. That's okay. But do you have faith? After what you've heard about me, this God who's able to rescue and deliver, do you have faith? God does not need our perfection, or at least in this point, He wants our obedience. Your past sins don't dictate God's plan for His forgiveness. Your past sins don't dictate God's plans for His forgiveness. Point number three, God's mercy does not leave us where we are. Now, God's character is always redemptive. He's into the quote-unquote the business of changing lives, of transformation, of forming Christ in us, of bringing us towards greater maturity in Christ. It's a redemptive process and plan that he's involved with. You know, he does not leave Rahab in the same situation in which he finds her. In fact, Rahab married this guy named Salmon. You all know Salmon as good to eat, right? She married this guy named Salmon. So you will never see Salmon the same way again, you know, the next time you eat Salmon. You know what? The beautiful thing is this, the mind-blowing thing is this, the game-changing thing is this, that Rahab was part of the genealogy of Jesus. Matthew 1 verse 5 talks about the genealogy of Jesus. Rahab, quote-unquote, made it, qualified for that lineage that brought about the birth of Jesus, because later on, of course, she, Boaz, was part of that lineage. Then David, down the line, now this is mind-blowing, a prostitute or a harlot had faith. Through the stories, was convicted to act in courage, countercultural, to do the unthinkable, to do the God thing. You guys okay so far? So that's my first main point, the harlot. What's the story? The first one is this: God looks beyond labels and meets us where we are. The second point is this: God looks for faith, not perfection. And the third one is this: God's mercy does not leave us where we are. When you look at the life of Rahab and the heritage and the lineage and the genealogy of Jesus, something was happening, something was being birthed. And that's why I want to lead us to our second big point, which is the scarlet thread. What's the story? Now, scarlet symbolizes wealth and power, both politically and religiously, since ancient Bible times. You know, in the King James Version, the word scarlet occurs 52 times, six of which are in the New Testament. Wealth and power. Now, in the Bible, in scriptures, let me just turn us to this, scarlet thread points to Christ and his blood. The scarlet thread points to Christ and his blood. Scarlet is used in scripture to describe. It's almost like a paradox. And that's beauty in paradox, you know, in the word of God, in scripture, in characters, in Jesus himself, the lion and the lamb. Beautiful paradoxes. But scarlet, royalty and power to rule as a king. Found in Daniel 5, 7, 16, 29, Matthew 27, 28, talks about Jesus putting on the scarlet robe as he was led to be crucified. Scarlet. But it also speaks of sin and sinfulness in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah 1, 18 says this: "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Someone say amen. Because our God has a redemptive plan for mankind all through the ages. The narrative of the Old Testament, all through the ages, New Testament, right up to now, his character is about redemption, about redeeming a people unto himself. Your sins are like scarlet, but they shall be as white as snow. This word is for many of you and many of us here. Matthew 27, 28 to 31, I'm just going to read this. "With us or for us, then the governor's soldier took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him." This is a mockery. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. May this word sink in, because the scarlet thread or the scarlet cord points to a certain destiny. It points to Christ and the blood of Jesus. Right from Old Testament days, you read about the Passover. The lamb was slain. This, in that time, the blood was on the doorpost so that the Lord would pass that house by and they would not see death in that house. The blood of the lamb. Story in Genesis 38 about Tamar, the two twins, and the scarlet thread was tied around one of the twins' finger. We read of stories after stories of the scarlet thread, of the color scarlet, of this God who's in the process of redeeming lives for his glory. And right up to now, Rahab, she experienced deliverance, salvation. Symbolically, she had to tie that scarlet cord on that window in which the spies escaped from. Now let me come to my third big point. Other stories. What's yours? Other stories. What's yours? I want to say that stories inspire faith. Stories are precious. Stories that you hear of daily or you read of, whether it's in Floodgates or in another, you know, book or compilation on the website or on Instagram, stories are powerful. Now, let me point to this part. We have heard, because this is important here, as I draw towards the last lap of this message today. Joshua 2:10-11 talks about what Rahab had heard. Two main stories that changed her heart, convicted her heart, gripped her heart. We have heard, someone say, we have heard. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. This is what Rahab told the two spies. Let me underline this. The Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. Now, this story was 40 years ago it happened. It wasn't a recent story. It was 40 years ago that happened. The previous generation that has, the story has been conveyed and told or retold, perhaps even through her clients. The stories would flow freely. 40 years ago, the story is still told. But the more recent story is this: what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. It's interesting to note that consist of stories from old and even recent stories. We have heard, I want to say this, that some of us have heard stories that have inspired faith, conviction, courage. But for others, sometimes you have heard stories that have discouraged you, placed you in a place of insecurity, fear. What have you heard today? Sometimes when we think about our lives 40 years ago, I think I was still in my mother's womb, okay. 40 years ago, where were you? What did God do in and through your life? Maybe 30 years ago. But what is God doing in your life right now, today? This week itself? Do we have stories that speak of the scarlet thread and the redemptive purpose of God even true and in our lives? What's your story today? Because Rahab, when she heard these two stories, one of old, powerful stories. That's why we sing the songs that we sing. 1,000 generations from Ezekiel, I think the scripture. 1,000 generations, you are worthy. It's not just today. from way back. How he parted the Red Sea. That's real. Someone say amen. We've got to be excited about this God that we worship and we serve and we love. Second story talks about the Amorites. They are giants. If you study, they're giants. Impossible situations. Impossible to beat or overcome. But the God of Israel, our God, strong, is mighty to save, able to deliver any situation that you are in or may be found in beyond your choice or circumstances that you're in. Our God is able to deliver. Maybe we need to hear some of these stories again. Maybe we need to share some of these stories, what God has done in and through your lives, not just 30 years ago, but what is doing in your life today itself, this very week itself. What is he doing? And perhaps your stories are not as epic as he parted, you know, the Klang River. Okay. But what are some stories, little stories, not so epic, but your story has the weaving of the scarlet thread through that ultimately forms a beautiful tapestry. Because in it is found, or are found, the markings of Jesus and his blood at work in our lives. I want to say this to us. Let our stories be hashtag. Someone say hashtag. I'm assuming that many of us here know what hashtag means. Those are not smiling, you're not sure or you are trying to get an understanding what hashtag is. Now, hashtag is used a lot in social media today. And what's the purpose of it? We bring an idea together, we bring a group of pictures together, we bring a story, a group of stories together. That's why we hashtag and say, hey, do you MC my, or stories of do you MC, or, you know, I love fried chicken, hashtag, you know. Someone laughing because, you know, I just had a Thanksgiving party with a lot of fried chicken there, you know. Hashtag stories. I say this, on one hand, it's a virtual world, but it's also a reality of our stories. What are our stories telling about? What are our stories? What are we hashtagging our stories? Are they hashtag Jesus, scarlet thread, God stories? Or are they just hashtag, I like to eat this yummy cake dessert, you know? What are our pictures talking about in our stories of our lives? Are they God stories? Or are we just following people like Kanye West and Taylor Swift? And are you more excited about some of these personalities? Or are you hashtagging God stories in your lives today? Because more than any other celebrity to follow, or people to follow in this world that has a lot of followers, our God is worth following. Our God is a God that we should follow. Because in Him is found everything. In Him is deliverance. In Him is life, and life more abundantly. Find the markings of Christ at work in your story. Can I just add here? You know, I recently have been taking a lot of pictures of people just behind the scenes, capturing stories. And I personally believe that social media is a great tool. Because this day and time, we are all publishers of stories. You publish a story through a post on Instagram, on Facebook. Now, we also understand the dangers that come along with social media. But I want to say that if you have access to a phone, and if you are you have an Instagram account or Facebook, hey, talk about this God through your stories. In fact, DMC, we believe in the power of media. We believe in getting the word out. And that's why we speak to you, wherever you are, online right now. Because there's power in technology. So as I say this here, you and I, besides the sharing of our stories verbally, face to face, can share stories also through social media. But I think beyond that, we need to ask God, what are you doing in our midst today, in DUMC? What are you doing? This church is 36 years old. Go talk to some of the founders. What has God done in this community of believers? Change lives. And I want to just end with this picture here. Just 2 days ago, I had the opportunity to visit KLUF. KLUF stands for KL Urban Fellowship. Right in the heart of the city, Chinatown area, we have a place for the homeless. Two men on your right, Brother Steve and Jerry, champions, you know, I call them. They give their lives just to serve the poor, the homeless, the marginalized. And right in the place where KLUF is at, was a former prostitute then, many, many years ago. And some of you know that street. So when I walked in, I was, wow, this is quite something that I had to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for having prejudice. Forgive me if this is uncomfortable. Forgive me if I'm just in my nice jacket up on stage. Forgive me if I've not taken into account the plight of the poor and the homeless and the needy and the misfits of society. When I talked to these two men, ample stories of what God did in their own lives first many years ago. And because of what God did in their lives, the grace of God was evident in their lives, they could now serve the people that they serve courageously, with conviction, with endurance, with patience, with kindness, with Jesus. This is a picture in a cafe, right opposite the place. You know, I just captured something. I mean, there's Van Gogh there, you know, on the wall. And Brother Steve talking to a French family having a holiday here. And a Brother Jerry on his phone. And then keep calm. It's a sign. Stories of people, conversations of people, stories of DUMC. All of you carry a story. If I would encourage you, maybe in your cell groups, perhaps you might want to visit the ministry there, you know, talk to Brother Steve about it. Let the Lord speak to your heart even as you bring yourself there. Rahab, the prostitute. If her story can be found in God's bigger story, our stories can join this bigger story as well. Big idea again is surrender your story to God's bigger story to leave behind a legacy. Now, as we close today, I wonder, you know, which part of the message spoke to you the most? Because we talk about how God looks beyond labels and meet us where we are. We talk about how God looks for faith and not perfection. We talk about how God's mercy does not leave us where we are. We talk about the scarlet thread right throughout history and what it symbolizes and how it points to Jesus and His blood that was shed for us. And then we also talk about stories that you and I have perhaps in our brokenness, perhaps in our being misfits in society, having a past that you're not proud of, having labels placed on you that you try to forget because it started from young. So many things that have happened in your life. Like someone says, who you are right now is a sum of all that has happened throughout the years, and it's true. Non-ideals, betrayals. But as we think about Rahab the prostitute, Hebrews doesn't leave that word out. Rahab the prostitute. James 2, when he talks about faith and works, doesn't leave the word prostitute out. Rahab the prostitute. What does it say about this person with a certain label? What does it say about us here today as people who are precious to God? Because you may have a label. But the word of God is faithful. It reminds us that He is strong in your weakness. Because some of you, God is going to turn that weakness of yours to become a place of strength. Because your heart is going to go out for the very similar people. Because you understand. You understand brokenness. You understand betrayal. You understand pain. You've lost a precious loved one in your family. And the Lord's going to use you to encourage, to give courage to people of a similar journey. So don't waste your stories. And if your story is hanging right now, you say, I'm neither here nor there. I can't seem to get a clue of what God is doing. Don't give up. Because your story fits somehow in the equation of God's bigger story. If you would surrender, obey, trust Him. Because what is faith ultimately? Hebrews 11 talks about the hall of faith. Faith is not just about, yeah, I can do it. I'm determined to do something for God. I'm going to conquer the world. But faith, basically, when you sum it all out, you strip it all down, is trust and obedience. Abraham trusted and he obeyed. Isaac trusted and he obeyed. Noah trusted and he obeyed. Rahab trusted. When she heard those stories, she obeyed and she welcomed the spies in to a place. Such hospitality. And that's what we're meant to do as a church, to welcome others in and not say, hey, you're not welcome here because you're not like us and I'm not like you. And we go through this again and again, even in the life of community sometimes as a church. So let's look at the life of Rahab today and say, God, what grace, what sovereignty, what love you had for Rahab. And I'm not too far away from your reach, God. And some of you are saying, God, I've been, you know, backing off for years. I've been distancing myself for years. But today you're saying, hey, I think there's a glimmer of hope. I think if God can love Rahab, if God can look beyond the labels and meet her where she's at, I think this God can meet me and meet you where you're at, wherever you're seated here today on those scarlet-colored chairs up there in the gallery and even down here. I want to end today by singing a song together in worship. And after, as we sing this song, I'm going to ask for a response. Because here's the challenge. Three challenges. Some of us need to encounter the divine interruption of God in your life today. Like how God interrupted this prostitute's life. She had faith to believe. Some of you need to bring your brokenness and your sin before the Almighty God, the gracious God, the most loving God. A God is able to deliver you from that crutch of the evil one and your chains that are meant to be broken. You need to bring your sin and your brokenness towards Him before Jesus and embrace His love and call upon your life today. A third group of people, you need to join. Join others to tell the world about Jesus and His glorious body through your hashtag stories that point people to Him, be it in social media or word of mouth. What are stories made of? You know, are your stories marked by Jesus and His reality? Or is it marked by our selfishness and what we want to see for our help, happiness? Let it be marked by Jesus. Join others to tell the story of God who loves, who gave Himself for us, who cleanses us from our sin, our brokenness. Let's sing the song and invite us to stand to our feet and just worship this God of the so much more, a God beyond labels, a God who meets us where we are. Thank you, Jesus. That's right, get a perspective of this God. Highest praises. Lord, we are astounded by You. Highest praises.
Highest praises.
Lord of all. Come on, sing it again. Highest praises, yay.
Highest praises.
People in our midst, you don't know Jesus, you've heard of this name. Perhaps you've been searching for a long time with a certain perspective, a certain maybe hope as well. Perhaps you have gone through life in a rough way. You've been seeking for truth. You've been seeking for answers. You've been having a lot of whys. But here you are in this place. Perhaps like a Rahab. Perhaps like someone else in the Bible. Perhaps just who you are. You're saying, God, if there's a God, if you are God, I can't describe what I've been feeling just now through the message or through the worship. But I know there's something more that I need to embrace. And this call is for you. If you're here, or maybe you have been away from the Lord, away from Jesus, away from church for a while, quite a long time now, you're saying, I got to run back to home where the heart is, where Jesus is. this is your time to respond as well, because He loves you, and He's not just the author of your faith, He's also the perfecter of your faith. He's into the business of transforming lives, including your life as well. So don't miss out, because this is a time for you to respond. I'm going to count to three, and just to simply guide us and to get an indication from you, if you say, I need this Jesus, I believe in this Jesus, I can't walk alone. If you're that person saying that, hi, I've got to embrace Christ, the same God of Rahab, I want you to lift your hands up and put it down so that we can pray with you. Now, heads bowed, eyes closed across this place. If you are that person is saying, I want to believe, I want to embrace, I want to come back to Jesus, lift your hands up at the count of three. 1, 2, 3, all across this place. If you're that person, you've been away, just slip your hands up and put it down. In this auditorium, in this place, just slip your hands up and put it down. I want to pray with you. There's a hand behind there. We're going to wait for a few more seconds. If you're that person, you think, God, if there's a God, I've got to connect with this God. I've got to encounter Him. Ashes, just help me to see if there are any more hands around this place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for the hand or two that went up, and perhaps others who are seeking you still. Lord, this is a place of encounter. It's an altar right here. I pray for these precious lives, that God, as they come to terms with who they are in you and not run away, Lord, you embrace them with your love. So God, I pray that there be such restoration. What the locust has eaten, Lord, you restore back. It's precious hands lifted to you in this auditorium. You see, you know who they are. You call them by name. You know the number of hairs on their head. Precious to you. Precious to you. Amen. Amen. Before we sing the song again, we're gonna open up this altar. This altar is for people, and you're saying, hey, God, you have divinely interrupted my life, not just today, but just past week. Somehow you have been tugging in my heart. Whatever my past is, you want to lay it before the Lord. This altar is for you. You say, I want to bring before God my brokenness. This altar is for you, open to be prayed with and prayed for. You're saying, I want to join others in telling stories of this living God. Hashtag stories. This altar is for you as well. So as we sing this song, without much delay, we invite the pastors as well to join you in prayer. This altar is for you. Don't hold back. Come and get prayer, because our God is real. Our God is alive. Highest praises.
Highest praises.
Don't be shy. Get to step up. If you're tugging your heart, and you know this is a place of encounter. Whatever need that you have, just respond to the Spirit of Living God today.
Oh,
people here is struggling with unforgiveness. The Lord is saying here today, it's until as you encounter the forgiveness of this God that loves you so much, that then you're able to also forgive others. To whom much is forgiven, much is loved as well. And you're able to love others because you've been messed up so much that God forgave you, and that's why you know how to forgive others. You know how to let go. You know how to release that to others and help others as well. So in this place, perhaps there are people here, for years you've been holding on to something that you cannot let go. It has been a crutch to you. It's caused you to even be a misfit because of your personality, because of how you can't relate to others. In fact, you've tried to find comfort through different things, substance, relationships that are unhealthy. You've tried to find answers in these things, but it's never sticking around because of what you are going through in your heart. And if you're that person or persons here, whoever you are, respond to this God who forgives. Respond to this God who looks beyond labels, a God who meets you where you are. There are people in this place as well. You may have had unanswered prayer, as you would term it. You've been asking God, say, God, why are you not saying anything about the situation? Could be a business deal. Say, God, don't you know that I need an answer by tomorrow? Don't you know I need clarity by... But God's not saying anything because He's teaching you something. Today is saying, hey, I love you. Something that I'm teaching you in the deepest of hearts, more than just a business deal, is the deal in your heart that you will make with the living God through this, with courage and conviction that comes by knowing this God intimately. So He's going to bring you to your knees to seek Him like never before. That's what He's after, because He's in the business of changing your life and my life. So if you're a person, respond to Him. Let's sing the song one more time, and I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to do the benediction.
Be enthroned upon my praises a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. Unto You, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice to heaven, singing worthy, Lord of all. Be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations.
Our hearts, wherever we are at, whatever station of life we are at or in, You speak to us, and You still speak to us today, be it through the songs or through the message or through a handshake or through someone that connects with us even today. Thank You for the story of Rahab. Thank You for the story of Joshua. Thank You for the stories that are found in Your Word, amazing, astounding stories that point towards a God who has a plan for redemption, of a people call out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, we come here in faith, believing that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think or imagine. That's who you are, a God who parted the Red Sea, a God who delivered people out of their bondages, a God who set captives free, the same God we worship today. So Lord, may this week ahead be a week of stories, of hashtag stories, of a living God who is at work in our hearts. The scarlet thread that flows through and penetrates through and is woven through this beautiful tapestry of yours for your glory. So church, lift your hands to the Lord as I do the benediction right now. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace that lasts. All this we ask in Jesus' name, and everyone say, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Celebration service is over. Just be mindful of those who are praying. If you're new here, we welcome you to the business lounge. Have a cup of coffee with us. We'll see you come back again to church. And let's grow together. Amen. Thank you.